to help clear the bush, the bushes along the fence by the softball field on Saturday, April the 11th at 10 a.m. More information will be provided as it gets closer. Please let Ken or Roy know if you can make it so they can plan accordingly. So don't forget that invitation. Come out and help clear that debris. Thank you. All right. We have a wonderful thank you card from Lillian and James Shaw. Thanking everyone for all the cards, the calls, the visits, and all this during her recovery from her hip surgery. It'll be placed on the board in the foyer. Oh, now softball meeting. This is for all our softball players. It's going to be another meeting as it was last Sunday. This is in room 45 again. So if you're part of the softball team, the organization here, room 45 for a brief meeting after morning service today. Ministering and worship sheets for the month of April out there in the foyer, so men, be sure to pick one up so you will know when you are being asked to serve. Don't forget the Schultz Lewis Commodity Drive is underway. There's a list of items on the bulletin board. The pickup date is over in June, the week of June the 7th. So be sure to bring your items in and put them on that table as soon as you can. Well, yesterday was Food Gatherers Day. There's some items left over in the fellowship hall. So if you would like to go back and see what you would like, please do so and just take whatever you would like to take. This morning, our song leader is Greg Newton, opening prayer, Henry Davis Jr., our speaker, Brother Reese Siegel Henson, sermon title, Giving, Giving. Scripture is Matthew 6, verse 19 through 24. Scripture reader is Vince Ciaventero. Presiding at the Lord's table, Jerry White, Nick Ciaventero. Closing prayer, Charles Hopkins, Jr. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day and all the blessings of life. We're thankful, Father, for all that you do for us each and every day. We ask our blessing, Father, upon all who are here and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Our first song will be number 545, 545, The Wonderful Savior.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He had my soul in the path of God, where dreams of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows are bruising and end. He hideth my love in the depth of his love, and comfort me there with his hand, and comfort me there. A wonderful Savior, He takes my He hides my soul in the when cold is his brightness. O Lord, and our God, to me in perfect salvation, it's wonderful God, I've done to me in God. He has my soul in the breath of the rock that shadows of the earth. He has my
before the prayer, we'll sing number 699. 699. Down in the river's blood.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sister, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sister, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, yet who shall wear the open crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and you shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, yet who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mother, let's go down. Come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mother, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, yeah, who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, yeah, who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow this morning, Lord, to first and foremost thank you, God, for another day. We thank you, Lord, for getting us up out of our beds this morning, Father, clothed in our right mind, Father, to be able to come here, Father, to be able to worship you, Father, to be able to praise you, hear another portion of your word. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, just for saving our lives, Father, for being the head of our lives, O Lord, for being who you are, O God. We thank you, God. God, we thank you for sparing us again just for one more day. And Lord, as we go through the portion of the service, Father, we ask, Father, that you will first and foremost forgive us of our sins, Father, those things known and unknown, Father, and continue to guide us, Father, and continue to lead us. Lord, we ask at this time that you will bless those, Father, that was mentioned who are sick, who are bereaved, Father. those, Father, that are seeking you, Lord. We ask you, Father, to keep your hands around them, Father. Keep your everlasting arms around them, O Lord. Lord, we ask that you will bless this congregation, Father, and you bless the leaders in it, Father. Father, we ask that you will help to guide them and lead them in the way that you would have them to go. Lord, we ask this morning, Father, that you bless Brother Reese and in the message that he has prepared, Father, that you guide your words and the things that he says, O Lord. And we pray, Father, that if there's any in our audience today, Father, that is seeking you, Father, that your words through him will bring them closer to you. We pray, Father, that you bless this nation. We pray, Father, that you just continue to guide us and order our steps, reminding us, Lord, Father, that this world is not our own. We are just passing through. Father, we pray again, Father, to accept our thanks in the name of the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
For the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 504. 504, It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast brought me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, with
my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, in his shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when faithful shall sigh, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall be sent. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my
We've now come to the portion of our worship service this morning where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to read a couple of verses from the Gospel of Mark, and this will help establish the biblical precedent and background for what the Lord's Supper is and how we're to observe it. This is coming from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and starting at verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He then took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." As we've just read, the Lord's Supper consists of two emblems. It consists of the bread, which represents the body of Christ Jesus, and the cup, or the fruit of the vine, and that represents his shed blood. This is a time that's been set aside for us Christians on the first day of the week, as is clarified in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, that the first day of the week is the time that's been set aside for us as Christians to partake of the Lord's Supper. This is a time to clear our hearts and minds of any other thoughts, to solely reflect back on the cross, solely reflect back on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what his sacrifice means for each and every one of us. So as we just read in the scriptures, we'll do the same. We'll partake of the bread. We'll offer thanks for the bread that partake, and then we'll offer thanks for the fruit of the vine and partake of that emblem. So at this time, would you bow with me as we give thanks for the bread? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Our Lord, we're just so thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. We're thankful for his willingness to come to earth, Father, for the perfect life that he led, Lord. But ultimately, his willingness, Father, to offer up his body on that cruel cross of Calvary, Father. For the torture and everything that he endured, he was willing to endure on our behalf, Lord. And Father, as we're about to partake of this bread which represents his body, Father, help us to clear our hearts and minds of all other thoughts, Father, so that we can solely reflect back on the Lord, Father, and that in doing so, Lord, we might be able to partake of this bread in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. For we ask these things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to commune with you, to be able to remember your Son's wonderful gift that he gave on the cross for us. Father, we can never be worthy of such a wonderful gift, but we know that it's through your Son's saving grace that he gave himself, all of himself, that we might live. Father, as we remember that day and him on the cross, we remember the blood that flowed from that cross, the love that he showed on our behalf. Father, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, we remember and that we perceive that we are a redeemed people. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
we try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible someone may have been inadvertently missed. So if you happen to miss the bread or the passing of the fruit of the vine, you can signal to us at this time by raising your hand, and you'll be served now. I don't see any hands, so that concludes the Lord's Supper. Next, we'll move on to another portion, another act of worship on the first day of the week, and that concerns giving. The Apostle Paul clarifies in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 that the first day of the week is the time that's been set aside for us as Christians to give back to the Lord as we've been prospered. The next book over in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, the Apostle Paul there clarifies that although we're commanded to lay by in store and give back on the first day of the week, that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and that when we have that opportunity to give, it should be a gift of willing cheerfulness, not a give or a contribution under a feeling of necessity or compulsion. So let's keep those verses and that mindset in mind as we have a chance. We think about all the blessings that God's blessed each and every one of us with. Let's make sure as we have the opportunity to give back that we're ensuring that we're giving out of a cheerful and willing heart, because that's what God expects from each and every one of us. So that's something to keep in mind. At this time, we'll go to God and give thanks for the opportunity to give, ask Him to bless the collection, and then we'll pass those praises as well. Would you bow with me? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Lord. Father, as we have this opportunity now to get back a portion of what you so richly blessed us, Father, upon the first day of the week, Lord, we pray, Father, that we'd all have that willing heart, Father, that cheerful heart, that we keep in mind of all the many, many blessings of life that you so richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. And Lord, we pray that the collection that's taken up, Father, that helped to further the work of the church here, Lord, and broaden the borders of your kingdom, Father. We ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
The song of invitation this morning will be number 858, 858. Let us mark that as a song of invitation. Before the lesson this morning, we'll sing number 629, 629. angry words. Let us all stand as we sing the song.
Angry words, oh, let them never from thy tongue unbridled slip. May the heart of S. M. Paul check them as I saw the lip. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Lest of his brother, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. Love is brought to pure and holy. Friendship is to sacred fire. For a moment's reckless folly, thus to age my and my. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, this way the blessed command. Angry words are lightly spoken, bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred, brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command.
Let us be seated.
The scripture reading for this morning's sermon will be Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Again, it's going to be Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, shine thine eye, be single. Thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, Brother Reese.
Morning. Great to see you all again today. Great to be here with you. Today is a good day, a great day, in fact, because it is the day that the Lord has made. I'm eager to get into the message today, but first I want to say hi to everybody here. Whether you're somebody who has placed their membership here at Ypsilanti Church Christ, whether you're a longtime visitor, whether you're just passing through this morning, it's just awesome to see your face among us. It's just awesome to be part of our little community here today. I don't know if you know, but we are looking at a really, really exciting year ahead of us here at Ypsi Church of Christ. It's finally starting to warm up ever so slightly. It's kind of, you know, it does that thing in Michigan where it fluctuates. You get the 70-degree days and the 32-degree days, and that's all right. We'll endure that for a little while, but it's starting to warm up ever so slightly, and as it does so, I get more and more excited for the path in front of us as a church. We have a lot of programs planned for this upcoming year. So if you are somebody who's even considered getting involved in everything that we do here in serving the community and serving one another, there's really literally never been a better time to jump in and get involved in everything that we're doing here. I know that there are a fair amount of you that have probably been on the fence about placing membership with us. Let this be the nudge, the little nudge that you need. If you are a Christian that is here and you don't have a firm church home, let us know that you'd like to be identified with Ypsilanti Church of Christ moving forward. Like I said, at the end of the day, we are just a community, and we want as many people in our little community as possible. So, with greetings and salutations out of the way, let me address the elephant in the room for you all. We're talking about giving today. I've been here nearly a year and a half. I've been minister nearly a year and a half. I know it only feels like a couple months, but it's been a year and a half. I don't think I've ever explicitly taught a message on giving, at least not here on Sunday mornings. Don't worry, the irony isn't lost on me. I've waited until just after the honeymoon phase. I've waited until right after the neutral goodwill toward a new minister has expired to preach a sermon on giving. So don't hold back. Feel free to really just let me have it after service. I expect nothing less, truly. There is a right way and there is a wrong way to preach about giving. I think that much we already know. I've experienced the wrong way firsthand. I've told some of you this individually. I don't think I've ever said this up here at the pulpit or mentioned this story, but when I was in college, part of my degree plan, I was a Christian ministry major at this point, and part of my degree plan was that I had to intern for a church, and they gave us a short list of selections for churches that we could choose from. And one Sunday morning, as I was interning at this church, this internship was mercifully short, by the way. One Sunday morning, the preacher stands up, and the first thing that he does when he goes to the pulpit, he gets to the microphone, he says, "God has come to me and told me that you all are going to pay for us to repave our parking lot this morning." What? What? Bad theology aside, right, I think our Creator has more pressing things to deal with than a cracked parking lot. Like, God is active in moving in the world. God is active in moving in our very souls, and you're going to box him in and treat him like an independent contractor? Goodness, if that wasn't bad enough, that Sunday morning, they took their donation tray, they set it right up front, right at the front of the stage, in front of the room, where everybody that was there could see who was giving and how much they were giving that morning. It was horrible. What's that passage? Matthew 6, 3 through 4, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret and himself will reward you openly." I think they missed that one. I think they missed that one. I was embarrassed to be in the room as this was happening. I felt I was an intern. I felt like I was an accomplice to a perversion of the scriptures. It was awful. And I know some of you might be thinking, "Reese, aren't you being a bit antagonistic?" Yes. Yes, I am. The older I get, the less I've been willing to put up with people distorting the Word of God. And that sort of distortion especially happens when we're talking about giving And we're talking about money, right? The same goes for the idea that if you give a certain amount, you'll get a certain amount in return. You get those big televangelists that are out there preaching the prosperity gospel, right? The idea that, faithful Christians are entitled to physical wealth, or that you can speak things into existence or give money into a ministry and see some sort of monetary divine return back to you. If you hear that I'm going to preach on giving and you think that that's what it's going to sound like, I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint. That's not what the Word of God tells us. It's not. The only earthly blessings mentioned by our Scripture are basic provisions. Now, we're not promised wealth. We're promised spiritual contentment. A faithful life doesn't produce riches. It doesn't. It produces godly joy. It produces inner peace, which is better in my book anyways. It's better in my book anyways. The truth is this. There's too much selfishness in the world. There's too much greed in the world. And honestly, even some churches are not safe from wolves in sheep's clothing. We know this from Scripture. That's why giving is such a difficult subject to speak on. But money isn't something we should avoid talking about either, especially considering how many times it's mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned over and over, right? I'm not talking about, you know, two or three verses here and there. I'm not even talking about 15 or 20 or 100 or 200. There are over 2,000 verses in our Bible that mention money, possessions, or wealth. Over 2,000. Around 2,300. And now we could use any number of those 2,000 passages for our a key text this morning. And there were quite a few that I considered as I was kind of making my way through this lesson, but I kept coming back to Old Reliable, kept coming back to Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, right? We've been there a lot lately. I know we have. In fact, we were here earlier, just a couple minutes ago. It's a good passage, Matthew 6. It's a great passage, in fact. The Sermon on the Mount is where Jesus Christ, he outlines that the sort of ethics, the sort of character, the sort of lifestyle that will guide his followers to the kingdom of heaven. If you want to know how to live your life as a Christian, open your Bibles to Matthew 5 and 6. That's where you learn it. And that message, that Sermon on the Mount, is as impactful today, this very moment, as it was 2,000 years ago. That's why we're going to be spending some time there today. So if you don't mind, do me a favor, turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 6. It's the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. And once you get there, you can go ahead and turn over to verse 19, because that's where we're going to start. That's where we're going to plant our roots for today. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Let's go ahead and start there. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." All right, the first half of our key passage. Where we're going to, honestly, these verses, that's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. But just not yet. Right? Let's keep those three important verses, those first three, 19, 20, 21, keep those in your back pocket. We're going to tackle them a little bit more in just a second. But for now, let's dive into a little bit more of the text. Let's look at verse 22. He continues. He says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We'll pause here. So Jesus, he talks about the eye. He talks about the eye for a second here, which initially to us might seem to be a little bit of a departure from the idea of storing up treasures that he was talking about just a second before, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason he makes that segue. The lamp of the body is the eye. And the idea that he's getting across is that where our eyes
turn. Where our attention turns is the direction that we're going to be focused. For example, if a person is lustful, if they're only looking at the men and the women around them as objects, then they start to treat other people, other human beings, like objects. That darkness kind of creeps in and it becomes who they are. That's scary, right? If a Christian brother or sister is bitter or is resentful, they start looking at their brothers and sisters in Christ, not for their souls or for their successes or for their joy or their contentment, but to catch them in a failure, to catch them in a mishap, to make them feel better about themselves. They stop seeing the good in other people, and they only look at their Christian brothers and sisters so they can say, aha, I'm better at them at such and such, or oops, they stumbled in their faith again. What a shame. Again, that's darkness taking over. That's where their attention is turned. It's all in the eyes. It's all in our attention. Where is our attention turned, and are we taking on a godly mindset? What if instead of bitterness, our attention is turned toward lifting each other up, lifting one another up? If our eyes are always scanning for a way that we can serve, for a way that we can impact others and help them move forward, then if we see a brother or a sister stumble in the faith, our first thought isn't, oh, they fell again. It's, how can I pick you up? It's, how can I walk this path with you, arm in arm, hand in hand? That's the idea that Jesus is trying to get across when he talks about the light of the body. It's an extension of where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your eye is good, if you're constantly dwelling on healthy and uplifting things, then sin and evil will have a tougher time trying to drag you down. Now let's talk about the second half of that passage. You cannot serve God and mammon. A lot of other translations, they render this as you cannot serve God and money. Either way is fine. But there's a reason mammon is used. Some of you will probably remember this. We tackled this exact passage this past October. So it's been, what, November, December, January, about 5 months. It's been about 5 months since we talked about this, so it might sound a little bit familiar. That mammon is an Aramaic word, the language Jesus spoke, that was often associated with a false god. Mammon, a false god. And mammon wasn't this real, like a genuine deity that people actually worshipped at the time, but it was seen as a kind of corrupting entity of greed. Christ uses the Aramaic word for money, mammon, kind of to personify it. He wants to personify money, to tell his listeners that the concept of wealth can become embodied when they turn it into an idol. Right, that there's danger, there can be danger in money, there can be danger in finances, and there's a bit of a tightrope act that we kind of have to walk between honestly acquiring more for ourselves to satisfy our basic human needs and provide for our loved ones, while still also being generous stewards of God's kingdom. That is why, that tightrope walk is why so much of our scripture is dedicated on how to handle finances. Let's go ahead and look at the things this way. In life, we can say we're guaranteed two things. We're guaranteed two things. The first thing that we're guaranteed in this life from the moment we're born is a body. Right? It's the vehicle. Our bodies are the vehicle by which we live and breathe and scroll on our phones. A body. A temple, it made in God's image, it's something sacred, it's something holy, it's something by which we use to honor our Creator. From the moment of conception, we have a body, we have something that holds our soul. We can do a lot. We can do a lot of good with this body of ours. We can also do a lot of evil, but we'll get to that. And even though some of us are differently able, the form that we're given is perfect for the purpose with which it was created, that is to honor God. Your body is perfect to honor God. We're guaranteed two things. First is a body. The second thing that we're guaranteed is time. A body and time. We don't know how much time we have. It's impossible to know how much time we have, and that's why we have to be intentional with the time that we have while we're here on this earth. I know I'm not telling you something you don't already know. I'm aware of that. Everybody's aware of that. Time is precious. Every advertiser on planet Earth is aware of that, right? You know, when I was just starting college, what, 2016? I was just starting college. The popular slogan at the time, very dated now, the popular slogan at the time was, you only live once. YOLO. Right? You only live once. Go to that party, have a drink, get high. Right? Did any of you notice that at the time, how YOLO was only used to defend poor decisions? It was never, you only live once, pray, fast. You only live once, meditate on the scriptures. None of that. Anyways, that at the time was just a microcosm of a far bigger problem. Like I said, advertisers, they love to take advantage of your time. How many vacations and concerts and shows have been marketed to us as once in a lifetime? Once in a lifetime. I think at this point I've attended enough once in a lifetime events to amass more than several lifetimes. Truly. And the point is that any time during any given day, you've got 15 different sources trying to manipulate your attention. We already talked about scrolling our phones. Every thumbnail we see on YouTube and on Facebook is meant to draw our attention. Every video is edited in a way to keep our attention so that we don't click away. I've been convicted of using my time foolishly. Right? I play video games to relax in the evening. They're supposed to be a place for me to find peace. They're supposed to be a place for me to de-stress after a long day. But even our places of peace can become a vice when they start monopolizing our time to an unhealthy degree. I've been there. I've been convicted of that. Advertisers, they pay by the second, whatever it takes to take up the most time from us as physically possible. Because time is money, right? We've heard that phrase since we were little kids. Time is money. Time is money. Time is more than money, you guys. Time is more than money. Time is far more valuable than that. It's one of only two things that we are guaranteed in this life. Time and a body. Two things we're guaranteed. The world wants our time. The world wants our bodies. The world wants to convince us that we need to go on that trip. The world wants to convince us that we need those likes. And we need people to click that like button. The world wants to convince us that we need to buy those McChickens. The world makes a convincing argument sometimes, especially when we're hungry. If the world can convince us of a need, then the world wins our time and our body because we dedicate those two things, the only thing, two things that we're guaranteed to our perception of that need. And I think the natural question that arises from all of this is, well, then what do I need? What do I genuinely need? And I think that's a question that it at least can partially be answered by our text. So let's go ahead. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to keep reading. This time we're going to start in verse 25. We're going to read all the way through verse 34. Matthew 6. Let's pick up in verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and then tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." All right. Seek first the kingdom of God. That should be the rule of our lives, each one of us. Seek first the kingdom of God. The world wants to manipulate our time and our bodies by giving us a sort of false list of priorities, a list of once-in-a-lifetime events or needs that aren't really needs at all, that aren't really necessary at all. But the world doesn't choose what we do with our time and our bodies. We do. If you're in this room today, you've made that choice. This morning you made a choice. You know you have time, you know you have a body, and you've chosen, at least this morning, at least in this moment, to dedicate those two things to God, to come to church, to join in a community, to seek Him first. And it's this point I want to wrap all the way back around to our key passage. I reread verses 19 through 21. I'll read them one more time. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, here's the big reveal, I suppose. When we read treasure, we think money. Right? When I hear treasure, I think I'm about to grab a shovel and a map with a big red X marks the spot on it. I'm about to dig up a chest full of gold coins, something that was buried there by a pirate in the 1600s. Those prosperity gospel false preachers we talked about, they love this passage. They love it because they get to pretend that God is asking you to give them more money. He's not. He's not. When Jesus says treasure, he's not necessarily talking about cash. It wouldn't make sense if he were. How are we supposed to store up treasure when we know that in heaven, money can't go with us when we pass from this life? Can't store up things to take with us into the next life. We aren't some ancient pharaoh that gets buried with all his gold and all his jewels so that he'll hang on to them in the afterlife. That's not how that works. That's not how that works. The thing that we're really supposed to lay up for ourselves is all the blessings, all the resources that we've been given in this life. And what have we been given? Again, what are the two things we've been given, the two things that we've been guaranteed, time and a body? Those are the two things, time and a body. That's why Jesus' follow-up to this passage, when he continues through verse 21, is so important. Where we're looking, the things that we see, the things are the things that we're going to devote our attention to, and our time and our bodies follow our eyes. God wants all of us, time, body, and the resources that accompany it all. So, yes, I'm talking about giving today. The message is giving today, but I'm also not just talking about money. Here's what I don't want to happen. Right, here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want to preach a sermon on giving. Each of us put an extra couple bucks in the plate as it goes by next week, and suddenly we all feel like we've absolved ourselves of all guilt. I don't want us to hear that message today. I don't. I don't want us to put that contribution in and say, I did it. Jesus said, where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. So I gave more of my treasure to the church, and now I'm free to go ahead and forget about it. Quite frankly, that's the opposite of what I want you to hear. We need to understand that the church being us, the body of Christ, the people here in this room, that's what we are. We learn that in 1 Corinthians 12. It's not just the church is not just a building that we show up to once or twice a week. We sing some songs. We zone out for 25 minutes while What's-His-Face says some Bible stuff up at the pulpit, and then we leave. That's not what happens. No, this is a community. We've said it already. This is a gathering of brothers and sisters. That's why I try to take a couple minutes every Sunday to mention how honored I am to be here with all of you, with each and every one of you. That's why I mention how happy I am to have the privilege of standing up here at this pulpit. Because just by being here, just by showing up this morning, each of us have invested just a little bit of our treasure into the body of Christ. We've given of ourselves to be here. We've given of our time, we've given of our bodies. And yes, we do have physical treasure. We do have monetary resources that we are called to give to the church. We can give to building up, keep, and maintenance. We can give to our SWAT programs. We can give to the food drives that we run and all the other, honestly, amazing programs that we have running here. That is good. to give monetarily. That's a necessary kindness. We see countless examples of that in the Bible. We see regular folks financially supporting the ministry of Christ, the ministry of all his disciples. But if I'm honest with you, I'm also a little bit glad that we pass the basket for contribution before I get up here to preach. Not after. I don't want to preach and immediately see a response just because the preacher told me to. That doesn't sit right with me. The bottom line is this: I'm not going to be the one to tell you, give more money to the church. That's not my call to make. I'm not going to have us put the collection plate right in the center of the room for everybody to see or prophesy that you're about to give enough money next week for us to repave our parking lot. I'm not. I'm just going to ask that each of us look inward. The same thing that we should be doing as Christians literally every single day anyways. That we have time, that we take the time to analyze ourselves and our faith and our priorities. We all have treasure. We all have treasure. We all have the treasure that each one of us are guaranteed a body and time. What are we going to do with them? How are we going to honor God? How are we going to honor his church with them? Where's my treasure? Where's my heart? Am I with God or am I somewhere else? Does he have my attention or does something else? That's the question I think we all should ask ourselves. In his word, God shows us exactly how we should be honoring him. He does. And if you've yet to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do so. You can do so by becoming baptized today. In addition to that, I want to say we're about to sing our invitation song, and along with that, you also have an opportunity to come to the front, let us know if you'd like to be restored to the church, if you'd like to be identified with us, with Ypsilanti Church of Christ, or if you'd like prayers for yourself or for somebody else that you know and somebody that you love. We know that the world pulls hard against us. Satan uses every tool at his disposal to draw our time and draw our body as far away from God as he possibly can. There is no shame ever in asking your brothers and your sisters in Christ for prayer. Whether you're looking to get back on the right path or you just need prayers of your congregation, the prayers of your congregation behind you, to feel them at your back as you move forward. We are happy to make that happen. So I just want to say, if you're here this morning, if you'd like those prayers, that congregational support for any reason, or you'd like to take this morning as an opportunity to accept Christ through baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're invited to come up to this front row of pews as we stand and as we sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus falleth tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity calleth, turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take yoke, as he is meek and lowly. Bear his burden, to him turn. He who calleth, he will teach if you will learn. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then his loving tender voice obey, bear his yoke, his burden take. Find a yoke, his hand is on you laying, light and easy for his sake. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you